Yashakayach, Yashakayach, and this warm introduction. First and foremost, Koischem Bechoydach Sanya. What a beautiful affair this is. And all the trimmings, and all the tablecloths, and matching paper goods, all that, somebody put it together. And for 18 years, Rabbi and Mrs. Appel are the ones behind the force that keeps Malchus going. And I think they should continue moving and going for many, many years to come. And it's Eis Ratzon. Very true that we should taket daven, all of us sitting in this room, all of us with our families, with the Appels, should lead us b'mehera v'yameinu Mashiach tzedkeinu mekabel ponim zan. I think the first place that Mashiach will come will be at Malchus. A very appropriate, because it's Malchus. Binyan Malchus. I'd like to begin, actually, with a bracha. A bracha that I personally received from the Rebbe at my bar mitzvah. The Rebbe also gave me a flash brunfen, a bottle of whiskey. That I'm not going to share with you. First of all, I have very little of it left. It's, a couple of ounces still left. And we do a drop or two, a drop at a simcha. So I'm sorry. But I will share the bracha that I received. It was not the first time I met the Rebbe. Obviously, I was a mitzvah. The first time I met him was 10 years old. I came in, and the secretary, Rav Chadakov, told me the instructions. In Chassidim, by us, we don't shake the Rebbe's hand, and we don't sit down. And you have 3 minutes in there. And I'll knock on the door. That means get up or stand up and start moving out. Okay. They say, I come in, doors open, and the Rebbe stands up, and the first thing he does, stretches out his hand. First thing. So I remember the instructions. At that time I was younger, I remember things. Now it's already a different story. And I just stood there. So the Rebbe says, Chanitzogen Chadakov, I'm not going to tell him. And stretches out a hand and sit down. Don't worry, I won't tell Chadakov. Sit down. Without introduction, I sat down, shook his hand, and we talked. The Rebbe asked me various questions, personal questions, which is not negated this oilam, and about my parents, about various other things. And as the Rebbe is talking, and the Rebbe says, Anish Gemayel. And we keep talking, okay? And the Rebbe just came to Knis talking. We were there for about 35-40 minutes. And the Rebbe gave me a bracha. And I was just 13 years old. And at that time, it sounded like a cute bracha. But you should know, Rabbi Yisai, this bracha carries me on day by day, year by year. It's been 60 years, 60 plus years. How much is the 60? Math is not my subject. And this bracha, but this bracha, the Rebbe said, first, the Rabbeinu Shlomo shall have nachas from you. Second, the Tata Mamazol have nachas from you. Third, Klal Yisrael should have nachas from you. But the Iker Zach, the most important thing, you should have nachas from yourself. To me, to this very day, when I look what I do, I ask myself, will I have nachas from this? 10 years from now? Before I accepted this engagement, I'm sort of busy doing various things. And I said, wait a minute, and 3 years later, down the line, will I have nachas from coming here?
Of course you
will. Of course I will. And thank you. What is your name? Yudaleya. Thank you so for saying that. I had the same idea. Of course I will. And that kept me going. And it's such an important concept that whatever we do, we should have nachas from the things we do. And then I sort of smiled to the Rebbe and I said, and the Rebbe is a lot nachas for me. And the Rebbe just smiled. I don't know what that meant, but he smiled. And this time I did get up and there was another knock on the door. And I thanked the Rebbe for the time and I left. Naturally, as soon as I walked out, what's this thing? So I said, what are you yelling at me for? If you want to yell, yell at the Rebbe. You know? So the Rebbe says, whatever. Anyways, I wish on all of us that whatever we do, we should have nachas for ourselves. I like to, I was just asked by somebody here, when is the first time I met Lubavitch? So I must tell you, the first time I met Lubavitch was a little bit over 80 years ago. 80.
Okay.
It was in a cellar, in Ariol, where I was born, and my bris was held in the cellar. And the mayel was Betzalel the mayel. Betzalel was the mayel, the Moskva mayel from Chabad, was sent by the Friedrich Rebbe. And that's the first time I met a Lubavitcher. I don't remember exactly what he did, but I have signs that what he did is still there. It made a tremendous impression. So, that was the first time. And by the way, if you want to read, it's a story of Ashgacha Pratis. There is a little booklet that I have. Those who would like to have it, maybe we have about 10 copies. And if you want another one, if it's not enough, just give me a call. I'll be more than happy to email you another one. So actually, we came to the United States of America in 1951. I was February 2nd, it's a Friday, 10 a.m. And I was 10 years old at that time. And in February, and that was on Friday, and on Tuesday, we met the Rebbe for the first time. I was a little kid. I don't remember much about the meeting except the smile. That smile, that welcoming smile and the eyes, is once you see it, you'll never forget it. It was warming, it was delicious, and it was very comforting. And that's the first time I met the Rebbe. And it's interesting at that time that my mother and father, we had a long yichidus, we went through all our episodes. We came from a DP camp in France, but that's not for enough. For now, I want to share you, instead of personal stories, I want to share with you 7 concepts, transformational ideas that really changed my life. And perhaps one of the ideas will have an impact on you to change your life. And these are the things I learned from the schus that I had encountering the Rebbetzins and the Rebbe on a personal level. You see, my father, Olav HaShalom, was the first person to open up a Shema Shabbos grocery store in Crown Heights. And as Rav Appel silently said, at that time Crown Heights was the Borough Park. It was bigger than Borough Park. It was nicer than Borough Park. And more choshev than Borough Park. I got to say that. And we had, can I know, all the rabbis, the Baba Rebbe, the Kozel Rebbe, the Kastir Rebbe, the Rebbe Rebbe, the Kozelitzer Rebbe, and Lubavitch too, and the Boston Rebbe. And all of them, almost all of them, were customers of ours because we're the only Shemesh Shabbos grocery store. And I was, at that time, 10 years old, and at that time was a delivery boy, and thus I got to meet all these people, all the Gedolim, at that time. And some of them, I became closer than others. And the first, one of the people that I want to share with you, that I met, was Nechama Dina, the Rebbe's Nechama Dina. She was living at that time on 770 Eastern Parkway, where that quarter is there, because the Friedrich Rebbe, that's where he lived. That was his resident apartment, and she lived there. The Rebbe's Nechama Dina, when you looked at her, it was royalty. She walked royalty, and you felt in her presence royalty. Didn't talk much. Always I came there, she always had a comment to make. Ingela, my child, if you button up your coat this way, it'll look much nicer. By the way, the other time, the tzitzis, instead of hanging out over here, over there, it looked much nicer if you would have him over here. And always give me a tzikerel. A tzikerel is translated as a candy, but no, that was a real tzikerel, a cube of sugar. I don't know if they sell it anymore, but I used to get a cube of sugar. And I used to take it and put it in my pocket. Sometimes I ate it, sometimes it just got melted, whatever. And I remember one time, she says, you know, it's cold outside. Why don't you have your scarf? Why don't you put on a scarf? So each time I came to them, I did put on a scarf. One time, I came to the door, knocked on the door, and I said, wow, I don't have my scarf on. I better go. Now, we lived about a half a block away, so I went back, got a scarf, came back. When I came there, it says, it was a beautiful shalachal. In haste, I took my mother's scarf, which was pink and red, and I put it on. And the Rebbetzin, instead of saying, what'd you do? Hazoy shein, hazoy kulat, so beautiful. That's what she was. And I learned from that. Lesson number two. When you give someone suggestions or criticism, do it with a kiss and with a smile. It'll always be accepted. Oh, what's lesson number one? Lesson number one, I'm sorry, I should have said that. Lesson number one is ob nachas fin zech alein. Most important thing, have nachas from yourself. While we have nachas from our children, we have nachas from clothes. Have nachas, that's number one. Number two, when you give somebody criticism, suggestions, and so on, do it with a kiss and with a smile. Number three, I had a long relationship with the Rebbetzin Chaya Mushka, Aleiha Shalom. She was a very special person. At that time, they did not live on President Street. They lived on New York Avenue on the second floor. And I'll tell you, to schlep milk, that time milk was not in containers, it was in bottles. It wasn't easy. But each time I came to the door, it was always a smile, always with, how are you? And she insisted to talk English with me. I only spoke Yiddish. And she said, "Darf sich ois lernen, azoi zu reden English." And every time I was there, I had a new vocabulary word. And she gave me a subscription to Talks and Tales. Talks and Tales was a publication I think, a month for publication by Chabad. At that time, there was no other publications in English. And she tested me all on it. And what did I read? And so on and so forth. And I was a little annoyed being tested on Talks and Tales. It was stories, it was interesting. So she told me, do you know that the Rebbe, every issue, reads cover to cover? I didn't want to argue with her, but the Rebbe reads Talks and Tales cover to cover? I just smiled. 20 years later, professionally, I met Michal Schwartz. Michal Schwartz was the illustrator, he was an artist, he was the illustrator of Talks and Tales. And he told me that the Rebbe used to comment on all of his illustrations. He once even told him, why can't you make the illustrations like Ripley's Believe It or Not? Why can't you do like Dick Tracy? I said, the Rebbe told you that? Yes. He read from page to page, the Rebbe. To me, it was amazing. This I confirmed 20 years later. And I told him to them. And lately, I saw a book by Telushkin called The Rebbe. And he tells the same story about Ripley's. I couldn't believe it. Ripley's and Dick Tracy and a couple more people. I forgot who they were. Ripley's and Dick Tracy, I happen to know. But the rest of them that he mentioned, I don't know. But Michal Schwartz told him the Rebbe went through and he told him to make corrections. And so he didn't like this, he didn't like that. And every issue. So she gave me a prescription to Talks and Tales. Subscription to Talks and Tales. I read it. I tried to read it. I started learning English. Slowly but surely. And I learned number three. Lesson number three. A transformational lesson. Give someone, focus on the other person's needs. What does he need most? Yes, I needed to learn English. Intuitively, she understood that. And she gave me a subscription. Talks and Tales, not a toy, not a this, not a that, but something that will change my life. Another thing that I learned from the Rebbe, Chaim Mushka, when I was talking to her once, and she was talking to me, and the phone started to ring. And I said, Rebbe, I'm here, it would do. I am here. Because I had only to speak it there in English. I am here. And why doesn't the Rebbetzin answer the telephone? So she says, right now I'm talking to you. You're the most important person there is. I said, Rebbetzin, but let's say the Rebbe is calling. Right now I'm talking to you. Imagine a 10-year-old kid, and maybe the Rebbe was calling. I have no idea, by the way, who called. And the phone kept on ringing and nudging and so on and so forth. Didn't bother her. She gave full attention to me. Lesson number four. The time you spend with somebody else. The cell phone could be ringing. Disregard it. Give him the few minutes. Totally undivided attention. It's amazing. The Rebbe, when he give out dollars soon, when the Rebbe used to give out dollars, he took, it was a minute, 30 seconds, wasn't even a minute that the Rebbe gave the dollars. But that 30 seconds, his eyes was focused only on you. And you felt it. You felt the Rebbe is looking straight at you. I remember by L'chaim, when, you know, there's 500 people, 1,000 people at that time, and drinking L'chaim, Rebbe, L'chaim, L'chaim. It took a second. But the Rebbe focused his eyes just on you. What a lesson. What a lesson to learn. When we talk to somebody, our children, and somebody walks in, we all of a sudden, wait a minute, kid, somebody just walked in. What a lesson. When we talk to somebody, the phone rings. Excuse me, I have to answer the cell phone. Why? We talk to our children. Wait, the phone is ringing. Why? You're talking to the child. You're talking to the person. Focus on that individual. Give him that undivided attention. What a lesson. And I try to emulate that lesson. It's not easy. It's not easy. But it's a life-changing lesson.
The most shaychas I had was with Rebbetzin Chana. Rebbetzin Chana is the Rebbe's mother. She was a Babi. She lived on President Street, and the Rebbe visited her every day and Friday twice. So you must imagine that the joke of Chabad, I'm the only one in Chabad that the Rebbe opened the door. It's true, because when I rang the bell, the Rebbe sometimes was there, and he opened the door, took the packages, and so on. So that, because I've met the Rebbe many, many times in his mother's house, I try to figure out when the Rebbe is not going to be there. It just didn't work. But to my advantage, in a way. And the Rebbe Sinchana was very, very special. Always asked about me, what am I doing in school, if I'm learning Chassidus. Always asking, and then what you learn this week in Chassidus? Okay, I went to Torah Vadas, we didn't learn Chassidus, it wasn't my cup of tea. But in order to please the Rebbeson, I always tried to, in talks and tales, to get a Chassidic concept of vort and told her over to her. Not that I told her Hashem, I read and talked some tales. I just told her, it's very nice. Whatever I said was very, very nice. And I always had something to say, thanks to talks and tales, thanks to Chaim Mushka, the Rebbe's Chaim Mushka. I always had something to say. And she always used to give me the same thing. She always used to give me a cup of milk, warm milk. That's what I learned, by the way, to drink warm milk. I developed a taste for warm milk. Does anybody like warm milk? I'll tell you, more people would have liked more warm milk if the Rebbeson would have given it to you. Believe me, you would be hooked on it. And she gave me a sponge cake. Somehow, her sponge cake was higher than any other sponge cakes. And I always had to sit down. No, sit down. I couldn't, and I was very uncomfortable because I always sat down and said, "This is the Rebbe's Benkel." And I always felt very uncomfortable sitting in the Rebbe's Benkel because that's where the Rebbe used to sit. And it was sometimes very awkward. I was sitting there and eating the cake and warm milk, and the Rebbe came in. He said, no, sit. And no, as we mentioned, slowly, don't gulp down. It was very uncomfortable, to say the very least. But I did it. And the Rebbeson was really, really, I felt the love that she had for me and the love that I found that she had for other people was amazing. And I learned something, that Chabad, and I learned that Tzad HaShova Shebehem, all the people in Chabad, they care for Klal Yisrael. But they never forget Rebbe Yisrael. They care for Klal Yisrael, but they never forget for Rebbe Yisrael. They care for the whole community, but they never forget the individual. What a concept. We're worried about everybody else. Don't forget the individuals. Worry about the whole family. But there's each member in the family has certain needs. And that's all of them had this trait from Rebbetzin Chayadina and Chamadina, Rebbetzin Chaim Mushka, the Rebbes. All of them had this unbelievable love for Klal Yisrael, care to Klal Yisrael, but never forgot Rebbe Yisrael. One time, you know, I used to deliver orders very early in the morning, and frankly, I went to Torah Vadas, and Torah Vadas was in Williamsburg. And I went to Shiva Katana, which is 206 Wilson Street. Anybody knows from Williamsburg? You know what Wilson Street is? Hayworth Street. Okay, this is Wilson Street. So, and took the Tompkins Avenue bus. It's a trip, 45 minutes on the bus. By the time I got to Yeshiva, I was really knocked out because I started working at 5 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning, delivering orders, and it was not an easy life. And the yeshiva is the first thing we did. We davened. Frankly, the davening of Ben Shalom loves me. and davening, whatever. I davened. So I asked the Rebbetzin, and I told him my issues. I have this issue. By the time I get to yeshiva, isn't there some sort of tefillah I could say, not falling asleep but during the tefillah, and not mumbling it up, with kavana? I could feel that I really davened. She said, of course. Shmon Ezra. It's only 19 brachas. I said, is there anything else? You know what Shmon Ezra? She gave me a... I was like, thank you very much. Okay? So I was a little disappointed. And that's the end of the story. And about 2 weeks later, I come to the Rebbetzin. I said, you know, I discussed it with the Rebbe. To me, that was an unbelievable validation. You discussed me, little kid, little punk, 10 years old, with the Rebbe? That itself gave me so much chiyus, gave me so much kraft, as I matter. I really matter. She discussed me with the Rebbe. And I asked the Rebbe your question. And the Rebbe said, yes, there is a tefillah. And the tefillah is just 12 words. Rebbetzin, 12 words I can handle. 12 words? Gewaldig. And says, yes, the Rebbe says, if you do this little tefillah, 12 words, your whole day will be different. The davening will be different. And the whole life will be different. And you have to integrate those 12 words. What are they? Mode ani lefonecho melachai. And I listened to that. Really? And I started learning what mode ani is all about. And the first question that the Rebbe talks about, and Chassidus talks about, says, wait a minute, you know, mode ani, do you wash Nagel Wasser? No, you say mode ani first. And the question is, in Modani, you don't say Hashem's name. Elokai Neshama, later you say Hashem's name. Why don't you say Hashem's name in Modani? Because you didn't wash Nagel Wasser. So I'm asking you, it takes 1 second. How long did it take to wash Nagel Wasser? 1 second. You open up your eyes and you wash Nagel Wasser. Big deal. And you say Hashem's name. What's the point? So some say, as soon as you open your eyes, you have to say thank you to Hashem. Really? Is there another deeper reason for that? So listen what the Rebbe said. Before you wash Nagel Wasser, you are Tomei. You're a Tomei. And since you're Tomei, the Rebbe Shalom loves you the way you are. No matter you're not clean, with all your chesroinus, unconditional love. You know, I have einiklach, Baruch Hashem, ir einiklach, and I love them all. Soon as the kid has a dirty diaper, sweetheart, take the mail back. Soon as the kid starts crying, excuse me, take the baby back. Soon as somebody has, Dean, that's your kid. It's, you are holding the einikl. Yeah, she was crying and she's throwing up. That's my wife's job, not me. But no, the Rebbeinu Shalom takes you with the dirty diaper. The Bajram takes you the way you are. Wow. Unbelievable. That's how you start your day. Unconditional love. Unconditional love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unconditional. No matter all your chesroinus, with all your buts, and with all your downs and ups, and so on and so forth. So I took this project as a lifetime. That Modian is the foundation of the Amuna and faith and happiness. As a matter of fact, every month I try to do another word for Modani. Today is Teves, and Modian is 12 words. It corresponds with the Shiftei Ko, the Mazolos, and you could go on and on and on. Today is Teves. Teves is the fourth month. What would the fourth Shevet? Yehuda. Yehuda's Malchus. Isn't it strange that we're here in Malchus? Malchus. It's powerful that you learn. Melech, excuse me, Melech. Yehuda's Malchus. Yehuda's
is Shevet Yehuda, number four. Yehuda is Malchus, and that's what this is what we're all about. We're here, and Yirtz Hashem, which is called Mashiach. You want to say something? Oh, okay. No, I... So, Bo De'ani to me was, till this very day, is so empowering and so unbelievable, freeing in a way. They start the day, and by the way, there's 12 words, and I had this chus, my chus, and I wrote a kuntres, a Bo De'ani. And the Rebbe, about 4 years afterwards, or 5 years, gave an entire sicha on the depths of what Bo De'ani is about, a couple of hours. And I'm still learning that sicha, by the way. Rav Zaks, Yishkoyah, is my Rebbe in Chassidus. And we have to get to that sicha also. And the depths of Bo De'ani is unbelievable. And every word, there is tremendous meaning. And I could go on and give an entire shiur on Bo De'ani, perhaps some other time. One time, another thing that I noticed, that all the Rebbetzins as well as the Rebbe, tremendous, amazing validation of the individual, the koyach of the person. No matter, like the Rebbe, whenever I came in, whenever I was there, please finish once, a little bit embarrassing. I was eating the cake and I had to say Alamichya. And the Rebbe took a sitter out, opened it up, Zog, Vot, Favot. And the validation of each individual. Today we're in a disposable society. We have paper plates and we throw it out. Although they're more expensive these days, but we still throw it out. And things don't work at that job, we just quit. Our loyalty is down. The validation of individual is such a concept today, more than ever before. Validating the other individual. Amazing validation. I want to end with another remarkable, unbelievable story, incident, that again is a powerful transformational lesson. I came once to the Rebbetzin, Rebbetzin Chana, and I told her, you know, I read a strange story in Talks and Tales. It's always Talks and Tales. I read a strange story in Talks and Tales. And I'm wondering if this story is really just a made-up story. Is it really true? Because I realize that certain stories are just whatever, they're fictitious, and it's wonderful. It gives a moral to this story. But this story is a strange story, but it quotes names of people. I wonder if it's true. And I told her this story. I just read in Talks and Tales that the Friedrich Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, when he was a little boy, a little child, he asked his father a strange question. Do angels count numbers? For the life of me, I found this question very strange. Do angels count numbers? Okay? Well, that's what the story said. And his father answered him, that's a very, very good question. It's interesting, by the way. When a child asks a question, you think it's off the wall? Don't say it's off the wall. It's a good question. Go to another topic. It's a very good question. And I'm not sure of the answer, but I'll tell you one thing. That the Malach Michael, the angel Michael counts every single capital Tillum, every chapter of Tillum that you say, he counts it.
And for every chapter that you he counts, he puts a light bulb in a chandelier.
Wow.
And for every that chandelier light bulb, that lights up not only in the Kodesh Baruch Hu, in the Al-Yoynes, and the atmosphere, the above atmospheres, but it shines down here. Not only does it shine over here now, it shines for you and your children and your grandchildren. And that's the end of the story. So I asked Rebbeson, is this story like half true, whole true? Or what is it? So she smiled at me. Numalo, that's my nickname. Yada Vort is Emes Viatzi. Not only that, the Tilim that you say, even if you don't know the translation, you don't know the words, is Eis Rotzen. And not only that, if you say it very fast, it also counts. The same light bulb. Wow, I said to myself, wow, I gotta do Tilim. Just say the words, slurp them down, do it fast, don't even have to know the translation. And I get a chandelier with a light bulb that lights on top, lights on the bottom. Rebbeson, I'm in. And she looks at me, Kinman, my child. It's very nice, a chandelier. But you know, a chandelier needs a house, needs a ceiling, needs walls, needs a table, needs chairs. You just can't put a chandelier in the air. It has to have something around it. And that house, those walls are built with Torah and mitzvahs. The chairs and the table and the furniture is built with Torah and mitzvahs and chassidus. And then when you have that, then you can have your chandelier. Ooh, that's a different story. You mean I have to do all that? I thought, yeah. Otherwise, the chandelier has no place to go. I must tell you, I felt a little disappointed. And that was the end. I finished my cake, said ala michir, delicious as usual, warm milk. I had, by the way, my scarf, which I changed. By the way, if you really want to know, I'm still hooked on the scarf. My wife still complains, why do I wear a scarf? Dina. My wife's name is also Dina. Yeah. Her is also Dina, my wife, and she wants to know the scarf. So Nechama Dina is the one who somehow hooked me into it. And I left it. And a couple of weeks later, I come to the house, and the Rebbe is there. And the Rebbe says to me, always with a smile, a twinkle. No? Did you start building your house? And before I had a chance to answer, because I didn't know what to answer, because first of all, again, I was shocked that the Rebbeson talks to the Rebbe about me, little me. I was like a little kid, a little grocery kid with an accent with this and that, but I was 10 feet tall. The Rebbe discussing the whole politics, the whole world, and me. And before I had a chance to answer, the Rebbe said, you know, you have to know what kind of house you want. It's not just thinking of a house. So I have a suggestion. Go to the Itzkowitz family in Barabar, look at their house, and then we'll discuss it. It was a strange thing. First of all, I didn't understand how the Rebbe knew that I knew the Itzkowitz family. That's another story. Fine. Anyways, I went to Bar Park, and I know the Itzkowitz. Knocked on the door. Yeah, what can I do for you? I want to see the house. Excuse me. The house is not for rent and not for sale. What do you mean you want to see the house? I'm a little kid. I said, I really don't understand this either. But the Rebbe told me I should see the house. The Rebbe told you I should see this house? Yes. Okay, the Rebbe said, I'll give you a grand tour of the house. And I got a grand tour of the house, the downstairs, the upstairs, every place, the whole house. And I thanked him very much. And he looked at me, okay, the Rebbe said, why? If you want, you can call up the Rebbe, 770. Here's the number, and find out why. I don't know. I don't know why. Fine. I come back. And this is another couple of weeks. And the Rebbe asks me, no? Did you see the Itzkowitz's house? So I said, yes, I certainly did. Which rooms did you like best? So I said, frankly, the bedroom and all that, and the one that I liked best was the living room, dining room. It was very, very spacious. It was like unbelievably large and was beautiful. But you know what was so beautiful about it? It led to a garden. So while you're sitting in the living room, you could mamish see the garden. And the garden had all kinds of trees and flowers. And it was so beautiful. I really enjoyed that. Rebbe says, would you like a house like that? I said, well, not exactly, but I would like in my garden to have fruits, not just trees, but fruits on the trees, a few of the fruit trees, and yes, the garden, and it should be also the door should be a little bit wider, so I should be able to see the whole garden at one time. And the Rebbe looked at me, and I thought, I don't know what he'll say. And then the Rebbe went ahead and quoted me a pasuk in Veschanan, which reads, "V'hayu kiviyacha Hashem Elokecha el Oretz," when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring you to the land of Eretz Yisrael. Then he will give you Orem Gedolim B'Tavos Asheloi Banisa. He will give you large mountains. You see, she did the right thing. She disregarded her phone to listen to me. Lesson number three. Very good. You know what? You integrated lesson number three so well. I'll give you a prize. The Mashiach, Beis Mashiach, that has its stories in there about me and my encounter with the Rebbe. And the Rebbe continued, and the Rebbe Shem will give you mountains that you didn't build, Batim Meleim Kol Tov, a house filled with everything, Ashalem Elesa, that you didn't even build either, that you didn't fill up. And Kromim Vezesim, vineyards and olive trees, Ashalem Natata, that you didn't plant. And Vachalta Vesavat, and you will enjoy it. And the Rebbe told me, you know, if you build a palace upstairs, and he showed with his finger, Fenoiven, Adiv is boy in Fenoiven. If you're going to build a palace upstairs, you will be Zeicha to sample it in this world, mit Fleischiko Eugen. You will be able to sample that palace here with your own eyes and taste the palace. I listened to it, Amen, Amen, as the Rebbe's Brocha, and I walked out, and somehow this was my motto for life. Lesson number five. Focus on building a palace upstairs. building a castle upstairs. And when you focus on that, the Baruch Hu will bless you, that you will have a palace over here. And as time went on, we came to Eretz Yisrael, married, had children, and this was still my motto. I forgot where the motto came from, but all the time I was saying, I'm very busy today, I'm building a castle upstairs, you know? As a matter of fact, when I came to Yeshiva in Mir, there's a concept somehow. Everybody, if they're working, no one bothers you because you're working. But if you're in Kailo, listen, I got somebody coming from the airport. Can you pick him up? I got someone. Can you help me out? So I said, I'm so sorry. I'm in construction. I'm building right now. I'm a kaplan. Oh, really? I'm sorry to bother you, please. And guess what? No one asked me what kind of building. But as soon as I said I'm in building, nobody bothered you. It was great. And anybody that called me, even I remember somebody asked me, Base Mashiach called. I'm busy. I'm building a castle. You know? And that's my motto. And we came there to Israel. We moved first to Har Nof with my daughter. And we had a small little halal, and for some reason or other, the owner, it's a long story, tried to sell it, and anyways, we were asked to leave, and we couldn't find a place to leave, and we tried to rent a place, and then whatever we saw, we didn't like, and we almost went back there to America. We had a home in America. We almost went back to America. And the last day, as we decided, we spoke to Rosh Yeshiva about it. We said, look, you can't find a place to live. What can you do? And the last day, somebody suggested, you know, there's a very wealthy individual. He's renting an apartment in Rujin. It's a little bit above your style. It's a little above your rent. But he's a very special person. And because we didn't want to really rent also, because we heard enough stories, you rent for a couple of years, and then they throw you out because the guy wants to sell. And so we didn't like the idea of renting. And we wanted to buy, but we didn't have enough money to buy, because where's the money to buy for a whole apartment? And somehow it just didn't click. But this person is willing to rent the apartment. But guess what? It's a little bit more than usual, but you'll never sell it. Because he's very wealthy, and it was the first apartment that he had in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a zgula that the first achuzah, the first market that you have in Eretz Yisrael, you shouldn't sell. And I said, I hear. My wife and I went to the apartment right away. And the minute we saw it, we loved it. The rent was double what we thought it was going to be, but we figured, we're staying here. And he told us, yes, I'll never sell it. It's yours as long as you want, as long as until I have my Rasam Shana, and so on and so forth. And fine. And we took the apartment. We made a Chanukah Sabayis, because it's like our apartment, we never sell it. And we made Aliyah. We moved all our furniture from New York, from Brooklyn, to this apartment. And we started fixing it up. And after 2 years there, living happily ever. We got a phone, 1 year, I'm sorry, 1 year. That's why I have my wife here. She always corrects me. Very positively, number three, very positively and very nicely with a kiss. That's item number three, right? Okay. So you've got a call. Listen, for a certain circumstance, we got a call from the agent, not the owner. He wants to sell the apartment. What if he wants to sell it? He says they're gonna sell it. I know, but he decided to sell it. And but don't worry, you have first options. I say, I have first option. You know how much money he wants for this? I know it's a luxury, it's worth it, but you're talking to me. I have don't have money, that kind of money. So we looked for mortgages. Due to my age, my wife is very young. I married a child. What do you call it?
Robbing the cradle.
So she's 20 years younger than me. But me, I unfortunately can't get a mortgage because of my age. And I couldn't get a mortgage. And so on and so forth. And I said, well, you just can't do it. I don't want to go into details, but the Rabbeinu Shalem, with Nisim and the Flores, exactly how it happened, I still to this very day can't figure, neither can the bank. Somehow the bank, no, some of the bank gave us a mortgage, and then they called after they gave us the mortgage every day. Listen, when are you paying it up? Because we made a mistake, we shouldn't have given it to you. But it was too late, and this was continued years and years, because it was whatever. It's Alz Min HaShemayim. And we got this beautiful apartment. And the apartment, by the way, has a spacious living room. Has a beautiful, beautiful garden. And in the garden, there are fruit trees, pomegranate trees. And my wife and I sometimes think about it. Wow, unbelievable. But 2 years ago, on a Friday, 2 years on a Friday, I was out of Shabbos, and I was walking, I was in the clinic. Who lives in Arno? There's a Shulzen, there's a clinic in Arno. Mohadad. Razerbanan. I had to go to the clinic on Friday. After I went to the clinic, I walked out, there's a Mercola there, Zolba Godon. There was a Lubavitcher guy. He said, listen, I have a Jewish Living magazine, and it's Erev Shabbos. I have 2 more copies left. Please take one. So I'll take both of them. And I took both copies, and he left home. And as I take the magazine, they still have it very bad. As I take the magazine, I glance, very brief glance at the magazine. And as I glance at it, all of a sudden, I sort of get jittering in my feet. In the magazine, the first page, the Friedrich Rebbe, when was a little boy, as the previous Rebbe, do angels count? And I said, wow. And I read it and I was shivering. I was shivering that's the story. And I looked at the magazine again. Yeah, the Friedrich Rebbe said yes, and guess what it says? The Rebbe said that you could say Tilm without Kavana. You could just say it very quickly. And I said, Mama's shivering. I came home. My wife didn't know what happened. And I told her. She looks at me and smiles. Wow, look what we have. The Rebbe, he predicted it. And he says, yes, he predicted it. And that was Parshas Veschana. Anybody daven in Boston Shtibel? Oh, you yes. Any men daven Boston, because you never got an aliyah in Boston.
No, but I know what you want to say, that it's very hard to get an aliyah there. You have to book an aliyah.
Right. So in Boston, there is no way to get an aliyah. The only way to get an aliyah, if you need an aliyah, then you have to do it beforehand. You have to tell the government beforehand, and etc. 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 So I sat down, listened to Kriya Satara. All of a sudden, Dr. Pranzlau sits next to me, gives me a nudge. You know, they just called you up. I said, what are you talking about? Yeah, you just got an aliyah. You got, you know, your favorite aliyah, Shishi. You know, by the way, you know, when I come to shul, they ask me, you're crying the ladies, I'm a Shishi man. I get Shishi. So I say, I get Shishi. So I said, me? Yeah, they called you up. Why? I don't know, but they called you up. So fine. So I go, and I say the bracha. I thank the Gaba very much. And I asked them, why? They said, I don't know, I just decided to give you a leave. And the Balkaira starts reading, and Shishi happens to be a beautiful, beautiful parsha. It's not Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Beautiful. And Ve'avta'eis, it's a beautiful parsha. Then all of a sudden, Vayu Kiviyacha, Hashem Elokecha Lords. And all of a sudden, I felt the Rebbe is talking to me. Lasses lach orim gedolim. Teves ashalev anisi. The batim, the kromim, the zesim ashalev natata, vachalta vesavata. And I felt, not the Balkar, but the Rebbe is talking to me. I was white. And I just, the Bakayim probably finished this thing. The Gabbai, Rabbi Bruce, you have to make a bracha. And I was shivering. And what happened? I was escorted to my seat with a glass of water. And I didn't tell anyone. It's very hard to explain. I came home white. And I told my wife what happened. We went out to the porch and looked at all the beautiful things. This is Rebbe, whether you said it b'nevius, whether you said it atzruach hakodesh, I don't know. But one thing, what both of us do know, my wife and I, tzadik goyzer v'Hashem mekayim. He gave us a bracha. And it came to fruition. To the T. I give you all a bracha. Build your castles, palaces over there. When you build your castles and palaces over there, Emir Tzashem, you'll be zoicha to taste, to sample. Now, the palaces, your homes over here. B'schus, all of you here, sitting here today, if you make that commitment to build over there, all of us together will bring that the real palace of the Beis HaMikdash will be built, b'mehera v'yameinu. And all of us together, all of us, especially b'schus Noshim Tzidkonius, you're the ones who schlepped us out of Fasten Gold the first time around, all the way from Paro. You schlepped us out, and we followed along. Noshim Tzidkonius, I beg you, schlep us out from this Finster and Golas, and we will follow. Rabbi Pal assures me we will follow. And B'schus Zeh, we'll all be Zeicha to see Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehera v'yameinu. Thank you so much.